Good evening, everybody. Please turn your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 6. And we'll get started with tonight's message. John, chapter 14, verse 6. And as is our custom, we will now take a moment of silent prayer. This gives us the opportunity to take advantage of the grace in 1 John 1, 9. That if we confess our sins, He, the Lord God, is righteous and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and He is faithful. And we have the opportunity now to consider our spiritual status and to go before God the Father and to agree with Him concerning any of our known sins, to name and cite them privately to God the Father now. With that, we know that we are restored to fellowship, we'll have the filling of the Spirit, of the power and the mentorship of God the Holy Spirit that we need to understand the Word of God as it is being taught. So let's take a moment now to do that. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the person and work of Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You for His accomplishment in dealing with and in handling and paying the price for all our sins and handling the very issues and consequences of the sin nature and of the fall of Adam. We also thank You, Father, for the opportunity to live this incredible spiritual life that You've made available and reserved for each and every church-age believer. And we thank You, Father, for the grace policy, Your grace policy, and we know that our part in this is to have these non-meritorious actions of the soul in terms of believing and confessing. And we know that You've made it as easy as possible for us. And it's all by Your grace and Your power that these things are accomplished. And we just want to thank You for that and honor and worship and adore You. And each and every time we gather, that's what we're motivated to do, Father, to worship You and get closer to You and Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and in the fellowship of God, the Holy Spirit. And we know this is another opportunity to do that. We know that Your Word is the lifeblood of this life relationship that You are developing with us, and that we are filled with the Spirit and we are moving forward and believing what the Word of God has to say. We're cooperating in that. And we just ask today, Father, for the mentorship of God, the Holy Spirit, so that the communication of Your Word will be accurate and that the hearers will have the opportunity to concentrate and to receive all the truth that's in the message tonight, and that by believing in that truth, God the Holy Spirit, we know comes on the scene and metabolizes it and makes it available for use. And we just thank You for all that, Father, and we just ask for that mentorship of God the Holy Spirit now in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All right, well, we have been studying for the last, I think, couple of months now, the doctrine of repentance. And it's one of those overarching doctrines that covers the entire spiritual life. And so we've taken our time with this teaching, and we've seen most recently this one verse in Gospel of John, chapter 14, that really captures the entire spiritual life and therefore captures the three kinds of repentance in a fantastic way. And we've been looking at the third kind of repentance, and it's this one. It's for the church age believer's life, it's turning away from the lies and evil of human viewpoint, turning toward divine viewpoint, grace and truth. This is an ongoing lifestyle process that's involved here. It's walking after salvation in the spiritual life and continuing to learn the truth of the Word of God on a day in and day out basis, hopefully. I've mentioned this several times that we're going to see one of these verses coming up too, that in this third kind of repentance, often what's highlighted in the New Testament is a person who has not been walking for a while, and that intervention that we see in their life by the grace of God to cause them to repent, and that gets highlighted because that's what you get from living in a lifestyle, this is believers now, of human viewpoint, of cosmic viewpoint, and then having the Lord intervene in your life so that you're back on this path of learning divine viewpoint, growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and having that new life of fellowship restored with the Trinity. And so we'll see that, but the preferred route, of course, is to continue walking in the plan, and that's, of course, what we've been focusing on in terms of the results of that, and that's what we see in John chapter 14, verse 6, The Lord Jesus Christ says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And we've seen that those are the three stages of salvation, and of learning the Word of God, and of reaching maturity and experiencing that Zoe life that we've been studying, a fantastic study. We're going to wrap that up, I think, today, and then move back into wrapping up the doctrine of repentance, kind of doing some wrapping up. You know, if we're on that, we're on that side of the curve, if you will. We kind of curved into this fantastic series on repentance, and that's led us to a great mini series within that on the Zoe life. And now we're kind of wrapping things up. We're going to be wrapping up the Zoe life, wrapping up repentance. We might take a quick look back at the Gospel of Luke to see where we were in chapter 15, and maybe spend a little time on that third parable, haven't decided yet, and then really ramp up and get back to the main book that we're studying, the main chapter one of the book of Romans, which is, I've been studying things about that lately, which I'm very excited to get back to. So that's where we are in the, sometimes we're in opening up as we see where you kind of step into one doctrine that leads to another, that leads to another. But then there's a time where we have to wrap those things up, get back to the main book that we're studying, the main principles, if you will. So that's kind of a preview. That's kind of giving you a little tour of where we are and where we're headed. But today we're going to focus on wrapping up the doctrine of the Zoe life and see where we get to with that. So, metabolized doctrine, the truth in John 14:6. That's the lifeblood that nourishes the objective here, which is the life of God and the soul of the believer. And so the truth leads to this Christian lifestyle, or what we've been calling the Zoe life, where little by little we're brought to a more and more secure state, more and more intimacy with the Lord. This Zoe life, as we've seen, it's a life filled with inner happiness and contentment, and where we realize that what we were trying to achieve and accomplish in our own human power has now been graciously given to us by God as the outcome of our faith in His character and in His Word. And we've seen, too, that if you're ever faced with any problems or difficulties, remember, this Zoe life is there. And this is the thing about it. This is the power of it. When we're in our external lives, when things are just falling apart for a period of time, when our external lives, things are not going right. Friends desert us, health problems, people die, sicknesses, financial difficulties, challenges in the family, divorce, all these kind of things that are on the outside, problems and difficulties, that regardless of what's going on with that, in season and out of season, as you stick with the Word of God and the plan of God, this Zoe life is growing and coming more and more of a reality for you. A life, inner life, inner happiness, inner contentment, where by necessity, if we, you know, I mentioned this before, that as you turn towards the thinking of Christ, you have to turn away from fleshly thinking. And so it's what happens. And the fantastic part of that is that things in our life that we have to say goodbye to, God gives us the ability to do so, the power to do so, through the magnetic attraction of His Word and His life. And also when things don't work out in those other areas that we had placed our trust before, whatever those things might be, in friendships, in money, health, in having the approval of other people, and so forth. You know, he intentionally has these events in our lives where those things don't work out, so that we do see the true picture here. You know, like in the book of Hebrews, where we're told that sometimes God shakes up our life so that the things that can be shaken are shaken, and the things that can't be shaken remain, and those are the eternal things. Those are the things of lasting value. That's the new life in Christ. And so this process is ongoing in the lives of believers, particularly those who continue to get energized by the Word of God. And so I say it that way because that's, again, you got to remember there's a preferred route and an alternate route here, route. And the preferred route, or route, or whatever, the preferred route is to continue to be filled with the Spirit, continue to be filled with the Word of God, and to have that power source in your life, and then to be brought, propelled forward. But believe me, if you choose the other path, the Lord finds other ways to get the work done. When you're living in cosmic viewpoint for a while, when you're not positive to the Word of God, you'll see that the Lord will intervene in your life through discipline in order to wake you up. So, in any event, you know, He who began a good work in you will complete it till the day of Christ Jesus. He's on the job 24/7. And greater is He than who's in within you than he that's in the world. And so you need to understand that God is on your side, but the side that He's on is the side of you that is to be living the new life in Christ. He's not on the side of the part of you that wants to live the old self life, you see. That's what has to be stripped in order for this new life to flourish. And so we have to be crystal clear on what God's doing, and sometimes we get in the way of that, but in any event, He's going to continue doing His work. And we saw, if you turn once again to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, because so often people want to know, what's this life like? We see Paul writing about this new life. He says that in Philippians chapter 3, for example, he says, look, he says, what I want to do is I want to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says, the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, if in some way I might reach this resurrection life away from the deadliness. And so you say to yourself, well, what's that life like? You know? And of course, you know that the New Testament brings you to the concrete after taking it to the concept, right? And the ways that happens when it comes to the Zoe life are several, but one of them is two verses that we've been studying lately in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, where we see crystal clear the contrast between that fleshly self-life and what it breeds and this new life in Christ and the fruit of the Spirit. And so this evening, we're just going to refresh our thinking and concentrate a little bit on what that life is like in terms of how it's described in Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. Let's take a look at this passage again. This is the life that is filled with the fruit that God produces in our life. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Let's read that again. But the fruit of the Spirit is, you know, you're filled with the Spirit on an ongoing basis. The Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit, is something that's number one priority in your life. You continue to come to Bible class, and you continue to just place your soul where you're just open to the truth, no matter what it is, no matter what the pastor's teaching on. This is the kind of life where the Lord can have this unfettered access, if you will, to develop, through the power of the Spirit, this fruit. And what is it? Again, it's love. It's that virtuous love. That love that's willing to sacrifice for another. That love that orients to God the Father, orients to the person of Christ, orients to the ministry of God the Holy Spirit, has priorities that are right, and that the Lord's developing virtue inside of us that's willing to put aside our own interests in favor of the interests of others. That's a giver, not a taker. That's that kind of love. And that's being developed. There's joy. That's that happiness. This is the inner life. Remember now, I'm talking about an inner life that is developed and is developing, and that is characteristic of it. And so here we have again this inner happiness, this sharing the happiness of God as we describe it in the ninth problem-solving device. And then the peace, that inner contentment. That's really, you can see already that how the connection between what we're studying in the Zoe life and the fruit of the Spirit. I hope you see it very strongly in these first three manifestations of the fruit of the Spirit. This peace, this inner prosperity, sense of well-being, contentment, relaxed mental attitude, the patience. And this is, of course, now, you see, the first three are in our relationship with ourselves primarily. In other words, these are kind of gifts that we enjoy about our inner life. Now, we enjoy them all, but I mean, these are directly related to our relationship with ourselves. Now, the next three have to do with others. Patience. You know, I don't think we should ever be fruit inspectors, but in starting with ourselves, you can notice over time when you become more able to have patience with other people and with yourself. It's a supernatural development. And so as you see that going on with yourself And perhaps, and this is, no, you know, with others that you are sharing your life with, sharing the spiritual life with, it's a cause for happiness. It's a cause for rejoicing to see the work of God in a tangible way, a way in which you can connect to. It's not something that, you know, directly can be seen by the eye. In other words, it's not like it's a change in somebody's facial features or something. But, you know, there are certain ways in which you can see this develop in somebody that you are close to. And it's a wonderful thing. Kindness. And I just, again, I want you to think about this in real terms and say, what is it that the Lord's trying to do in my life? What is it that the Lord's working to do in my life and in the life of all those around me that are serious students of the Word of God? This is it. And so kindness is another manifestation of the work of God the Holy Spirit coming to fruition in the life of a maturing believer. Kindness. Graciousness. Giving people the benefit of the doubt. Kindness. Again, having this willingness and this ability to come through for others and understand their needs and be there for them. Kindness. Goodness. The sense of understanding what the righteousness of God is all about, and then manifesting that and always thinking the best of others, for example. Goodness. And then the final three now have to do with this ongoing relationship we have with the Lord. Faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And then against such things there are no law. So you have this ninefold manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit in the life of a believer that is living according to John 14:6. You're on the way, you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, and you understand the good news, and you're living a life that way. You're in the truth of the Word of God. I am the truth, says the Lord. I am the life, and therefore as you develop the truth in your soul over time, now you have the capacity and the power to have this great relationship, this ongoing resurrection life relationship that is developing the fruit of the Spirit and is developing its intimacy with the Lord. And so you have these different manifestations of fruit, this confidence that you have, this grace orientation, this humility, self-discipline. All these things are being developed. I hope you notice these are all inner qualities, but they do have manifestations that can be observed over time. All right, so we have living in Christ, who is our life, and we see some of the fruit of it. We know that the power of God is at work, and we know that these are characteristics and manifestations that money can't buy. People try to do this, they try to fake this, they try to put this on without the power source of the Word of God and the filling of the Spirit, and it can't be done. I realize that, as my mentor Pastor McLaughlin used to teach a lot, that if the unbeliever can do something, it's not the spiritual life. If the unbeliever can do it, by definition, it's not spiritual. So these things, this is something apart, quite apart from what the world tries to get done in thinking about these kind of characteristics of somebody. And even well-meaning, you know, there are finishing schools where they try to develop you into something that that kind of mimics what the Holy Spirit is doing when the Word of God is alive and powerful in the soul of a believer. Now, the experience of Zoe life is a reward for living the spiritual life. It's really the highest expression of the life of God in time. And we've seen where a new believer can start living the spiritual life, and a believer at any stage can live the spiritual life using the problem-solving devices. But what we're talking about here is a result and a manifestation of a lifestyle over a pretty long period of time, usually, where this Zoe life, this life filled with inner happiness and contentment, can be experienced as a reward only by those willing to live the spiritual life by sticking with the plan of God through thick and thin. But we can think like the Lord Jesus Christ. We can. And we can reach a state of total reward in our mental attitude from fulfilling the plan of God. We'll still sin. This is important to understand. 1 John is all about this. We'll still sin and fail. But if we continue with the plan of God, we will experience times when that peace of God that's beyond understanding is such a reality in our lives that the problems and the difficulties we are facing have no control over us whatsoever. And the point is, and I know this is review, but I want to set the stage for where we're headed today, that if we keep on living the spiritual life, we'll keep on reaping more and more of the experience of our eternal life in time. The ultimate being what Paul had, that Zoe life, the life filled with inner happiness and contentment. If we keep on living the spiritual life, learning God's Word, believing that Word, living and walking according to what we believe, we will keep on reaping more and more of the experience of our eternal life in time. And that's the point. So that's something to look forward to. We saw last time, it goes along really well with the teachings of the different manifestations of spiritual growth at the stages that have been mapped out of spiritual self-esteem, spiritual autonomy, spiritual maturity. And the supreme, ultimate manifestation of spiritual growth is this Zoe life. Now think about it. Our Lord didn't teach that if we believe in Him, then when we die, we'll have eternal life. No, He prophesied that we can have that life now. He did. And I want you to see this one more time. Go to John chapter 5, verse 24. John 5, 24. Excuse me. But here's the thing that's wonderful about how the New Testament is put together, that you have our Lord Jesus Christ coming on the scene, the Savior. And He lives this life. And as He lives this life, there's a lot going on. You know, He's presenting Himself to the nation of Israel as their Messiah. He is developing the 12 apostles. He is demonstrating who He is, His deity by His miracles. He's also, by the way, as we move along in His life, sort of transitioning from the orientation towards Israel towards the church age. And then so particularly in the Gospel of John, He will start to teach His disciples things that have to do with the church age. And we see that strikingly in the Gospel of John. And so, and what happens is that he plants the seed for so many doctrines that then Paul will pick up and develop in the epistles. And so it's wonderful to see this connection between the seed of a doctrine that Jesus Christ will bring out in a very, very simple but powerful way, and then Paul coming up and then fleshing that all out with categorical doctrine in one or more of his epistles. And this is one area. This Zoe life is one area where we see this. And so look at John chapter 5, verse 24. John chapter 5, verse 24. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. I hope you see where that's a present reality. Where again, he's not saying that in the future. He doesn't say if you hear my word and believe him who sent me, then after you die, you'll have eternal life. He doesn't say that. He says you have it right then and there. You have it now if you're a believer. You have passed out. He doesn't say you will pass out of death into life. He says has passed out of death into life. It's very important that you note that distinction. Go forward to chapter 7 of the Gospel of John, verse 38. John chapter 7, verse 38. I know we've seen this passage before. I want you to see it again today as we move on here. John 7, 38. He who believes in me, the Lord says, as the scripture said, from his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. This is in time now. This is not in the eternal state. But this he spoke of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. See, this is where the application of doctrine really applies, resulting in this fruit of the Spirit we've just seen in Galatians 5. As we walk in dependence on the Spirit, he will cause this life, this eternal life, this Zoe life, this resurrection life, a life filled with inner happiness and contentment to flow through us, as the Lord describes here, as rivers of living water. And believe me, you never prayed for anything that even comes close to this life that God has designed for you in time. Go to John chapter 10, verse 10. John chapter 10, verse 10. I hope after this series that one of the things that you've gained a new appreciation for is the Gospel of John and the focus of our Lord Jesus Christ on this life that he wants his brothers and sisters to live. That he came. We're going to see this passage. We're going to see this passage again. But that, you know, John, the Gospel of John, is definitely a gospel that focuses on the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to now also associate it. It focuses on life. It focuses on life, that Christ came so that we would have this amazing life that we couldn't have if he didn't do what he did on the cross. Look at the Lord Jesus Christ statement in John 10:10. The thief, that's Satan now, comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life, Zoe life, and might have it abundantly in time as well as in the eternal state. Why do I say that? I'll tell you why. Because, you know, the thief is also stealing and killing and destroying in time. You see, that's happening in time. Well, what the Lord is came to do in your life is also happening, starting in time, and then, of course, continues to the eternal state, that we might have life and have it abundantly. And we've seen again and again that this Zoe life, this life filled with inner happiness and contentment, means something. It doesn't mean that you're going to be on your own island in the Pacific, okay? It doesn't mean that you're going to be on top of the financial world next week, okay? It means that inside you, things are happening that are going to bring you to an experience of intimacy, an experience of contentment, an experience of happiness and life and energy and vitality because of the truth that sets you free. I am the way and the truth and the life, says the Lord Jesus Christ. It means that you're free from worrying. It means that you're free from anxiety, free from frustration. Now, not free from the things that cause so many to worry, because those things will still be there. You know, financial challenges, children that are in trouble. Those things are still going to be there. It doesn't say free from the things that cause anxiety. It says free from anxiety. So death is still going to be a reality around us, physical death. And violence and disease and these kinds of things doesn't mean they disappear. It means that inside you're free from the reaction of anxiety and from frustration. It doesn't mean that life won't have its frustrations on the outside. And by the way, don't think that this is a complete situation where you never fall into this. It's just that it means more and more you see that you're developing this ability, this capacity that God is developing inside you. Not to worry, not to have anxiety, not to have frustration. That's why he does it. It's a command. We've seen the command, right? Do not let your heart be troubled, right? And why? You know, stop worrying in the book of Philippians, because those are manifestations of, you know, not worrying, not being anxious. Those are manifestations that you really do believe and trust what the Word of God has to say, the promises of God, the fact that God's your Father, that the Lord Jesus Christ is your shepherd, that he comes through for you, that he's never going to desert you, never going to fail you, that you have complete forgiveness, that you don't have to be in bondage to the things of the past. All these things, when you start believing them and putting them to use and practice in your life, the power of God flows into your life, and you really do have this capacity that he's built to stop worrying. It means you've learned to remain confident, that you're not so easily moved by pressure and difficulty. And again, the point is that you're at rest, not from the troubles and anxieties, but in the midst of troubles and anxieties. And that's how you know it's supernatural. Look, the unbeliever can have periods of rest and relaxation and, quote, happiness when everything is going great. All right, the unbeliever can do that. If the unbeliever can do it, it's not spiritual. But what the unbeliever can't do is have that inner peace and contentment in the midst of big problems, big difficulties, big troubles, big anxieties, because that's a supernatural power source that only the believer has access to. And that's how you can tell. And that's, of course, how the angels can tell. And that's why the angels are rubbernecking to see what's going on. They want to see, hey, what are these folks learning today? You know why? Because they know that when the Bible is being taught and there's believers there and there's folks in the congregation that are positive to the Word of God, They know that there's power being released in that whole thing. They know that they're going to hear this truth and that the ones that are believing it are going to then go out there, and then that's going to make a difference out there because they're going to have this supernatural ability and capacity that's going to differentiate them from people who don't have it. And that's the power of their God at work. And that's what the angels want to see. They want to see the power of their God at work. They rejoice when they see the power of God at work. And they want to see manifestations of it in these little messed up creatures called humans who have now become born again and saved and are new spiritual species, all by the power of God, not by their own doing. And they want to see how this all get, how that new spiritual species in the midst of this fleshly, you know, this human being, they want to see how God's power can overcome all these things. And so this is the mark of this supernatural quality of this life, that in the midst of trouble and anxiety, you still have this contentment and you're at rest. You have tranquility of soul, tranquility inside, being refreshed daily. And this is, it's described by our Lord as these rivers of living water. It's a person that other people will come to be refreshed because that person has something, has this peace and contentment, and can provide a source of stability in families, a source of comfort in local assemblies, a source of strength in the business community, whatever this may be. And that's why, you know, Pastor Cunningham described it as that oak of righteousness in Isaiah. It's a similar concept. It's a river full flowing with life that other people want. It's attractive to them. It really is. When somebody can go through a difficulty and have that inner contentment and stability and can still be there for other people in the midst of their own difficulties, that's a very attractive thing. And that's something that people notice and people are drawn to. And they want to know the source of that kind of strength, that kind of peace, that kind of life. And that's what we're talking about. And this is what can be developed. And think about what it is now. It's a manifestation of God the Holy Spirit at work in the soul of a believer who is bringing in the lifeblood of the Word of God and believing it. And therefore, that is the combination there. The Word of God and the power of the Spirit. And that's why, you know, it goes all the way back to what we teach the kids in prep school at the very beginning about the two power sources in the Christian way of life. But never get familiar with that. Never get familiar with the manifestation of the glory of God. That is this combination of the work of God, the Holy Spirit, and the mind of Christ, the Word of God, the doctrine that we'll learn. And when a believer reveals this glory of God, there'll be one basic characteristic and quality that follows them around wherever they go. And that basic characteristic is this Zoe life, this resurrection life, filled with inner happiness and contentment that's alive in them. And as we've seen, I'm going to keep reinforcing this because so many believers don't get this and they don't believe it. And so that's why I'm repeating it, repeating it, repeating it. God not only rewards those who diligently seek Him, Hebrews 11, in the eternal state, but He also rewards them in time. It's an outcome. That's why we just spent that time on the physics of faith, that there's an outcome. When you believe the truth of the Word of God, your life changes. You step into new, you know, inner territory. And that matters, and it makes a difference in your experience, and in, by the way, in others' experience of you, by the way. And we've seen the passages in Hebrews 11:6, Mark 10:30. And by the way, we talk about this reward, again, not through materialism. Don't be looking around and saying the people that have the most materialism or overt prosperity are being blessed by God because they're living the Zoe life. No, it's a life filled with inner happiness and inner contentment. As we walk in dependence on the Spirit, He, the Spirit, will cause this Zoe life, this inner life filled with inner happiness and contentment, to flow through us as these rivers of living water. And there it is. You see, we walk in dependence on the Spirit. We walk by faith, not by sight. And as that occurs, it's the Holy Spirit who is doing this, who is causing this life of inner happiness and contentment to flow through us as rivers of living water. But this is real now. Yeah, it's an analogy. No, we're not literally saying that you're not somebody who's like sweating all the time because there's water coming out of their body. I mean, that's, you know, people don't misunderstand. It's a metaphor, but it's real. It's a real, there is something in the spiritual realm that would be as if rivers of living water were pouring out of a person. But it's spiritual power and life that's pouring, but it's still real. It's those manifestations in Galatians chapter 5, the ninefold fruit of the Spirit pouring out of somebody, that love pouring out of somebody, that joy. You know what I'm talking about when you're around a mature believer, where that joy just pours out of them. No matter what's going on, there's this steadiness and there's this joy and this deep, deep inner contentment that you know is there. There's prosperity on the inside. It doesn't matter what's happening on the outside. That's all temporary, right? The things that are eternal, you're prospering. You're prospering. And think about it. The things that matter on the eternal side of things, you know you have an inheritance, right? You know you have an inheritance prepared for you. That's a promise in the Word of God. In Peter, 1 Peter and in Ephesians chapter 1. And so no matter what's happening temporarily, you know that the things that are permanent, you have an inheritance. And it's a fantastic one. So you have the sense of inner prosperity and peace. And the patience that's flowing out of people. The forbearance with people. Isn't that wonderful? A patient person, to be around a patient person, a forbearing person. A person's not always jumping to conclusions or freaking out, but just takes that kind of long view of themselves and of you and of what's going on. And the kindness. Isn't it great to be around a person who's kind, who's gracious, who's not always harping on you? And the goodness and that generosity and that grace orientation that you can see. This is real. It pours out of certain people. And don't you want it to pour out of you? I know I want it to pour out of me. Don't get me wrong now. I can be selfish. I can be petty. I can be the opposite of all these things. And it's an ongoing struggle. But when I'm in Bible class or when I'm studying and when I see the big picture and I see the long view and I see God at work and I know what I love about Him and I know that what I want for me is what I love about Him. Does that make sense? And so in that view, in that new man view, in that filled with the Spirit view, we want these things to be pouring out of us too. And that's what can happen. And that's what really matters. Now, it's important to note, please turn to Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. Because all of this takes time. It takes time. Sounds wonderful. It is wonderful. But it takes time. The Holy Spirit may seem to be slow at times with you, and especially with others around you. May seem to be kind of slow in getting this work done. You know, at times, he may seem that the Holy Spirit's even inactive in our lives. We have seasons where it does seem that way. We're dormant, you know. I remember when Pastor was teaching this series in Philippians. This was, probably 10 years ago now. And there was one day when we came to class and he read this essay by a believer in like the Middle Ages, living hundreds of years ago. I don't remember exactly when, maybe 500 years ago, 400. And he described this process in terms of a tree and the seasons of the year. Now, I know in Florida you guys don't have seasons, so maybe that wasn't very meaningful to the Floridians, right? But, you know, for somebody who grew up in New England where we have real weather and real seasons, you know, it was very meaningful to think of a tree that in the springtime is full of those buds and then goes through a summer where it's just beautiful and green and all healthy. But then the fall comes and then the weather gets cool and then those leaves start to turn colors and that's its last beautiful manifestation of that year, and then the winter comes and the leaves are all gone and it's stripped, that tree is stripped bare and it's kind of dormant and it's kind of protective, and yet the things that are going on the inside, there's this life, this sap that is developing and building and growing for the next season. And that's a great picture in nature. Of course, you know, I mean, I've mentioned this before, but you know that God designed everything to teach us who He is and the spirituality. Okay, so everything in the natural world can teach us something. Don't buy the lie that, you know, the natural world is bad and we have to have this inner, you know, aesthetic. I mean, what's the word I'm looking for? You know, anything of the senses is bad. That's not true. That's definitely not true. Because you can learn from all these things that the Lord has created. And the tree is one of them. But the point is that there are these seasons. And there's times when it seems like things have just shut down. And that there's no activity. I'm talking about spiritually now. No growth going on. It seems that way. But it's not true. But it just seems that way. And if you think about a tree, very often it's growing a lot. But you're not seeing the manifestation yet because it's winter. But it's growing strength and the core and the rings. And it's building and it's providing, it's drawing from what it's stored up and drawing from the resources that are available to it in the ground and preparing for its next overt burst in the spring where people can see it. But that all started in the winter. Same thing with your spiritual life. By the way, same thing with the spiritual life of the person sitting next to you in Bible class tonight or the person that you're going to go home to if they're a believer. And so you have to have this sense of wonder and sense of respect and not always believe in just what eye can see and ear can hear, right? But to trust in the character and nature of God and that the Holy Spirit might seem to be slow and inactive, but that's never really the case. You know, even when He is grieved or quenched, He's still at work. We may have stepped aside for a while in our, you know, in our mentality, in our attitude, but He hasn't. He hasn't. He continues to be at work. And now what He does, of course, may change depending on our inner status in terms of are we believing the Word of God going forward, coming to Bible class, or are we saying no to the truth of the Word of God and not exposing ourselves to the Word of God and going off in some other path. His tactics may change, but He's at work. Look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. For it is God the Holy Spirit who is at work in you, both to will, giving you proper motivation, and to work, giving you the ability to execute the plan of God above and beyond His good pleasure. For it is God the Holy Spirit who is at work in you, both to will, giving you proper motivation, and to work, giving you the ability to execute above and beyond His good pleasure. Keep on doing all things without complaining, grumbling, or arguing. And this is another beautiful couple of verses where you see, on the one hand, this big picture reality of God the Holy Spirit at work, and then boom, right back to the practical. Keep on doing all things without complaining, grumbling, or arguing. You have no idea the magnitude. If you knew the magnitude of the desires of God for your life, you would relax and enjoy every day, living one day at a time. I remember the first time Pastor McLaughlin taught this point and the impact it had on me. If you only knew the magnitude of the God desires for your life, you would relax and enjoy every day, living one day at a time. I had a conversation about with somebody yesterday, and she was going through a really difficult time. And in the midst of it all, you could tell, and she even said, I just want to keep hanging in there and believing and having this life with God. And I said, you know the intensity that you just had with that statement, do you realize that as much as you want that He wants it 1,000 times more in His intensity, of God's intensity. Think about God's intensity, right, of His desire. If you understood the magnitude, the intensity of how much God loves you and how much He wants you to grow, you would relax. You would enjoy every day. He's at work in you. You'd both to will, give you proper motivation. Think about that. You know, David said, convict me of hidden faults. He's at work to help you with the right motivation and the ability, the power. You'd begin to think about these verses and this principle with ever great capacity than ever before. And someone might say, well, how do I know? I know that. I know what God wants from me and what He's doing in my life. But do you really? Do you realize that the Bible says that we really don't? I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. We'll hopefully tap into it as the work develops. But there are times where there's mysterious things happening, folks. And it's only after the fact that we'll be able to tap into it. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. realize that He's at work. Realize the magnitude of what He wants for you. And relax and enjoy every day. I got to tell you, I continue, of course, and this is a good thing, to hang around with Christians. I continue to talk with Christians. And Bible doctrine Christians, as we call ourselves. But, people that are really into the Word of God and make it their number one priority. And I'm continuing to be amazed at how anxious we are and how hung up we are about how we don't do what I just said in terms of relaxing and enjoying every day. That there's always some big problem or controversy or this or that. And I got to tell you, I don't think that that's the way that God wants us to live. I just don't think so. From the Word of God, from what He says to us in His Word, I think that we miss the boat. I think we take ourselves much too seriously. And we don't take seriously enough the magnitude of the desires that He has for our lives. The magnitude of the solution that He has for our screw-ups. And I think we rob ourselves of having a richness of life that we could have once we finally believe the truth of some of these passages that we've heard for years and years and years. But what the Holy Spirit's been saying to this church, and that is, believing it matters. Stepping out in faith matters. Taking a verse and having a new burst of belief in it matters. Because that's how we put more and more of our confidence in Him. And less of our worries about self and others. And I think it's a really simple thing, but it's a really, really, it's lacking so much. And I think we just have to face ourselves and understand that we do, we are our own worst enemy. And we rob ourselves of the enjoyment that God wants us to have when we don't simply believe. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Just as it is written, things which eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love Him. Simple, isn't it? No one ever seen or heard anything like this. I'm translating. Never so much as imagined anything like it. It's never even entered their consciousness what God has already prepared for those who love Him. And again, you can take, I said, last couple of classes, I said this about 1 Thessalonians 5:18, but really, you can take any verse, particularly one that has some kind of promise in it, and it can blow you away. But the key is believing it. Do you really, have you really, really, with fresh eyes lately, grasp the believing believing in the immensity of this verse? Things which eye has not seen, ear has not heard. And again, I'm thinking right now, I'm thinking of Joshua. I'm thinking of him for the first time walking into a part of the promised land, Canaan. And they've never seen anything like this. They never heard some of the things that people are saying about their God. Their God has gone before them. And the people there already know all about Yahweh and His power. And they're hearing this for the first time. They can't believe it. It never occurred to them all the things that God had already prepared. And this is in the physical realm. What about the spiritual realm? That God has prepared those who love Him. Never even imagine anything like it. Verse 10, for to us God revealed them through the Spirit. The Spirit is at work because the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. In other words, you've seen it and heard it, but it's because God is revealing it by His Holy Spirit. And He brings it all out into the open before you. How does that happen? Very simply, through His Word in combination with the mentorship of God, the Holy Spirit, inside you. The Holy Spirit brings out what God had planned all along. Verse 11, for who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Do you understand what that's saying? It's saying that you have now full-time residence of God the Holy Spirit, and you have access to His mentorship 24/7. And He's God, and He's the only one who knows the thoughts of God, but He's at work providing those thoughts to you. To you. To me. Little old me. Little old you. You know? Regular, everyday Joe believed in Christ, comes to Bible class, and he now has God the Holy Spirit inside revealing things that the angels long to know and don't, and can only know when a believer gets serious about the Word of God and has the power of God the Holy Spirit at work teaching them these things. Do you understand the privilege? Do you understand the position that you have as a believer in Christ in union with Him? You understand that God is inside you at work teaching you things that have, through the ages of time, have not been revealed but are revealed now because Christ is risen and at the right hand of God the Father. And God the Father has brought this tremendous royal family as a gift to His Son and as a way, a means of glorifying God. And that you, if you're a believer in Christ, are one of those with these privileges that stagger the imagination. Get up every day and realize that. Believe that to be true. I know your eyes don't show you that. I know ears don't. I know you're going to leave Bible class and your ears are going to hear contradictions to what I just said. So what? So what? How long are you going to be at two opinions? Do you really want to live a life where you have one viewpoint when you're in Bible class and then you want to go and have another one? Make up your mind. Who is God? Who is God? Do you need a Savior? See, this is where it's so interesting that our book of Romans is saying the gospel is not just for an unbeliever. It's for believers. If you realize that you needed a Savior and Christ is that Savior, that He came through and took care of the problem of being human, which is being a sinner, and that He has done that, and that the Bible is true, well then how about this stuff? How about this? How about what we're seeing right now, that the Spirit of God is available to you to explain to you the deep things of God, the thoughts of God, the depths of God. Whoever knows what you're thinking and planning but you yourself. Do you ever think the same is true with God? Except that He not only knows what He's thinking, He lets us in on it. Verse 12. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit. We've got the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things freely given to us by God. Freely given to us. But we notice that we might know them, they're freely given. Where are they freely given? In the Bible, in the teaching ministry of the pastor, and we can know these things. They're freely given to us. God offers us a full report on the gifts of life and salvation He's giving us. Verse 13, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. By the way, that goes on in your soul and my soul. You know, you're hearing certain words today, okay? But then God the Holy Spirit combines the communication that has gone on in Bible class, the stuff that's true, because I make, you know, I know it's going to shock you, but I do make mistakes behind the pulpit. There are times when I'll say something, believe me, you have the filtering ministry of God the Holy Spirit, but He takes the truth in those words and combines them with thoughts that He's preparing in your soul that are too deep for words sometimes. But this is the life, the intimacy, and they come together. And that's exactly what we see in this verse, combining spiritual with spiritual, spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. And we don't have to rely on the world's guesses and opinions. We didn't learn this from going to school. We went to Bible class. We didn't learn this from a book on the New York Times bestseller. We learned it from God, who taught us person to person, first through the Lord Jesus Christ and the apostles, and now we're passing it on to you. Verse 14, but a natural man, here's the young believer, a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. He cannot understand them. That's why sometimes you talk to unbelieving friends, they don't know what you're talking about, because they're spiritually appraised. They don't have the mentorship of God, the Holy Spirit, so of course they don't understand them. There's no capacity for the natural man to understand these things. Even the Zoe life. Good luck trying to explain this to an unbeliever. You can't, okay? It's this life filled with inner happiness and contentment. It seems like silliness to them because they don't have the equipment, the ability to understand it. The grace apparatus. But he who is spiritual, verse 15, appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no man. Those of us who are spiritually alive have access to everything God's Spirit is doing, and we can't be judged by unspiritual critics. Verse 16, "For who has known the mind of the Lord that he should instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." This Zoe life, this life filled with inner happiness and contentment, is not only rejected by the unbeliever, but most believers, unfortunately, are ignorant of it. We would not have any doubts or wonder at the thoroughness of the work of God the Holy Spirit in our life if we knew the eternal heights of this life, this Zoe life, filled with inner happiness and contentment. Please go forward to chapter 3 of 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 3:17. Because you would not be puzzled at the extent of His preparation and transformation as He brings us from glory to glory in time. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. "If you only knew the eternal heights of this life that He has for us, you wouldn't be puzzled at how long it takes, quite frankly, at the extent of His preparation and the transformation from day to day as He brings you from glory to glory, as you live from faith to faith." In Romans chapter 1, He brings you from the glory to glory of 2 Corinthians chapter 3. "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty," freedom. "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit." The Spirit is here to reveal the things about the Lord Jesus Christ. And to build us more and more into the image and likeness of Christ. That image is found in the Word of God. And as we learn it, then He transforms us into what we're learning. Do you get the glory of that? We look into the Word of God, and we hear it. And then we see the glory of the Lord in the truth of the Word of God. But then as that truth comes into our souls, now we are being transformed into that image that we're learning from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. Just as the Lord Jesus Christ provided His thinking to God the Holy Spirit, now that thinking is changing us into Christ. You see the beauty of that? Christ to the Spirit, to the Word, to us, turning into Christ. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. But that's what's going on in Bible class, in learning the Word of God, as the Holy Spirit transforms us into the same image of our Lord to give us this opportunity to have this fantastic life in time. We will come to a place where self-perception is less and less, and there is a much greater perception of God in our lives than ever before. That's the beauty of it. There's less concentration on self and more concentration on God and the real reason that we have been created. Only a few believers will quietly and calmly continue to seek after God in this manner and be able to say with the Apostle Paul, as in Philippians 4:11, "Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am." And usually these are believers who are hidden behind the scenes, humble, unnoticed, unrewarded, unproclaimed, expecting nothing except that God is blessed. Not the creature, but God. Not the creature, but the Creator. And interestingly, just as we can experience this manifestation of the Zoe life in time, this is a really important revelation. We can call it an infusion of divine justice. The mature believer starts to realize that whatever the Lord does in our lives, it is just. The believer realizes that whether it's an attack from the kingdom of darkness or simply his own natural weakness exposed, unjust treatment from others, a problem with health or wealth, whatever is about to take place, it is justified because he or she is being prepared for something. He or she is being prepared to face whatever is before him, without reservation, and without any definite view in mind as to what the outcome will be. He's been given the ability to be content in whatever circumstances he finds himself in. Heavenly Father, we just thank you again for this opportunity to learn more about your character and nature, about the thinking of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, about the amazing things that you're doing in our lives through the active work of God the Holy Spirit. and the Word of God that's alive and powerful. And we just ask you now, Father, for the mentorship of God, the Holy Spirit, so that these truths can be continued to be brought to our awareness as we now leave and walk into the life that you prepared for us for the next day. We just thank you so much that you for your perfect provision each and every day of our lives. We thank you in the name of our Lord and Savior, your Son, Jesus Christ, his merits, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.
My faithful Father, enduring friend, your tender mercies like a river with no wind, it overwhelms me, covers my sin each time I presence. I stand in wonder once again. Your grace still amazes me. Your love is still a mystery each day. It's wild.